Welcome to all of you. This is a session on beginner's mind. And you just saw me working to have a beginner's mind. There's a story that I've always felt the power of. A visitor comes to a Zen monastery and he wants to talk to the abbot about Zen because he doesn't know what it is. And the abbot greets him in his study and says, "Would you like to have tea?" And the man would. So the abbot begins to pour tea into a cup. But when it gets to the top, the abbot keeps pouring from the pitcher into the cup, which is now flowing over the top of the cup and onto the saucer. Still the abbot keeps pouring. Now it's flowing over the saucer and onto the desk, to the table. The abbot continues to pour until it's flowing over the table, and now it's going down onto the floor. And the man says, wait, stop, it's overflowing. And the abbot says to the man, "Your mind is like this cup, it's full, no more can go into it. So how can you learn about Zen?" Well, I feel that this applies to me, and it applies to you, and it applies to everyone. What does it mean in your life to have a cup that's overflowing? Well, of course, just like the abbot said, it means you think you know it all. You come to learn something, but you're thinking in your mind, "I already know this." You don't even have to think it, you just know it. Your cup is overflowing. Nothing else is going to go into it. But there's other times too. For example, you've been on the spiritual path for a while. And as you've been on this path, your understanding may have changed as it deepened. You've been studying and practicing authentic power. Some of you for many, many years, and some of you are relatively new. But as your understanding and your practice deepen, your orientation toward it may deepen. And if you come to a place where you say, "I know this, I know that, I've heard Linda say that before, I've heard Gary even tell this story before," your mind is overflowing. In that moment, you don't have a beginner's mind. You think you've got the mind of an expert, but what you've actually got is the mind of a frightened part of your personality, a mind that isn't open, a mind that isn't a beginner's mind. Well, let's look more closely. Every time you are angry, every time you're jealous, frightened, impatient, every time you feel inferior, every time you feel superior.
And every time you're feeling stressed out or overwhelmed, those are all experiences of a very full mind.
That's right. In other words, this is easy to recognize for you. Any experience of a frightened part of your personality prevents you from having a beginner's mind because it prevents you from being in the present moment. You're preoccupied. You're preoccupied with your anger or your jealousy. You're preoccupied with getting even. You're preoccupied with what you're going to say when the person you're listening to has stopped speaking and your cup is overflowing. Your mind has no receptivity to it. And so you can see, or I presume that now you've made the connection between creating authentic power and experiencing a beginner's mind. It's a very real connection. As you create authentic power, you move toward a beginner's mind. You move toward a mind that's in the present moment. You are in the present moment, and you are observing what is in the present moment with curiosity, with wonder.
Yes, I love that, beloved. It's what you're saying, at least for me, is if I have a frightened part active in me, I can feel it. If I have a beginner's mind, I'm going to be watching what's going on in me. I'm going to be watching what's happening with curiosity. Oh, look at this. Wow, this is painful right here in my heart. And oh, I've got a pain in my solar plexus. And look at all these thoughts that are going on. I can actually observe them. And I love that because that gives me the possibility of really being an observer with what's going on outside of me, whatever it is. If someone's rude to me, It doesn't matter what it is, or I hear a news that I don't want to hear, or what happens inside of me when I'm in a frightened part that is overwhelmed or angry or whatever it's doing. And I get to observe it with curiosity. So I was thinking, beloved, some of the things I wanted to say about beginner's mind was the benefits that I've experienced when I'm in a beginner's mind. And that's that I am curious. And all of you are curious whenever you're in a beginner's mind. Also, the fact that you you're open to your guidance, to your guides and teachers, to your intuition. That's a big benefit of being in the beginner's mind. I wanted to say that there's also no attachment to the outcome when you're in a beginner's mind. And all the things that you believe about yourself, you know, you can notice the thoughts that come from frightened parts of your personality that I feel inferior to that person, or whatever the thoughts are, or I know better than other people, or I'm not competent. All of those thoughts, you actually can see them with a beginner's mind. You can see them as frightened parts of your personality. So that's a huge benefit, that you're able to notice what's going on around you and not react to it, but feel it, notice it with curiosity and excitement. And it opens your creativity so much, because you're no longer caught in the very limited ways that a frightened part of your personality would react and look at things and perceive things.
So you can see that any time you have an experience that isn't an experience of authentic power, you don't have a beginner's mind. You're not in it. You're preoccupied with something. You're preoccupied with your judgments. You're preoccupied with the reaction that you're having, instead of just instead of being curious about it, instead of looking at it with wonder. If you were looking from the perspective of a beginner's mind at a frightened part of your personality, you would be engaged by it. You would be engaged by its suddenness and its force. Mm. You would be engaged by its intricacy and strength and depth. You would be engaged by the way it strives to capture you.
Mm.
But if you're not curious, if you're not watching, if you're not interested, then all of these experiences sweep you into a frightened part of your personality. And that means you become unconscious. That's how most people spend their lives. So this thought about a beginner's mind can help you if you hold on to it. That is, the next time you're judging someone, like, she's not very well dressed, or that person certainly is self-centered, or how greedy that person is I just read about in the newspaper, or that I just met. You're not in a beginner's mind because you're preoccupied with these things that are keeping you out of a beginner's mind.
The judgmental thoughts from frightened parts of your personality.
That's
absolutely
right.
Absolutely.
That's right. You're not soul to soul. You are, in fact, personality to personality, and even more specifically, frightened part of your personality to, often, a frightened part of someone else's personality. You can't do anything about someone else's personality, but you certainly can use what your personality is experiencing to bring you out of the control of your fear, out of the control of frightened parts of your personality.
In fact, I was thinking about beginner's mind, beloved. That's the only way that we can experience compassion. If we are in a beginner's mind, if I am in a beginner's mind, then when someone else is in a frightened part of their personality, I can have compassion, because I realize that they're in a frightened part of their personality, not who they are. That's not who they are. And if I define them, oh, that person's always that way, that person's rude, that person's not as smart as I am. If I have those kinds of things going on with me when I'm with someone, and or I see them in a frightened part and then I judge them, that's the opposite of a beginner's mind. And so I'm so grateful when I have compassion. I can see that not only do I have frightened parts of my personality, but so do other people. And it's such a gift to be able to see that. And that is when I come back to beginner's mind.
So let's bring this home to your creation of authentic power.
Yes.
Take a moment right now to quiet yourself. Now, silently name for yourself the strongest frightened part of your personality. The part of your personality that you most desire to move beyond the control of. The part of your personality that has created the most pain in your life. Do that now. Name it silently for yourself. That didn't take long. I'm sure if you're still considering, it's because more than one or two came up. But just hold on to one of them. And now do the same thing. Let yourself quiet again. And now silently name to yourself the next strongest frightened part of your personality. The one that creates a great deal of pain and destruction in your life. The one that gets in the way of you and the intimacy and the depth and the relationships that you want. One that gets in the way of you and the fulfillment that you want. Well, now you've got two of them. I suggest that you continue this exploration after this call is over. Look at the frightened parts of your personality that are the strongest, the next strongest, the next strongest, the next strongest. You might find quite a few of them tying for first, or at least for second. All of them are preventing you from experiencing a beginner's mind. In other words, every unconscious reaction when you act to an emotional experience in yourself takes you out of a beginner's mind. Your curiosity is gone, your interest is gone, your anger is there, your impatience is there. Your compassion for the other is gone. You want to change them. You don't want to understand them. You don't want to see how difficult their path through the Earth School is. You want them to change so that you'll feel better about yourself. That's the experience of a frightened part of your personality. Sound familiar? Of course. Of course. We all have them. We've all had them since birth. And now that you have come in this lifetime into an awareness of authentic power, into a way that you can move beyond the control of the frightened parts of your personality without just wishing for it, hoping for it, affirming it, praying it, meditating on it, but actually doing it. All of those things are helpful, especially prayer. But even prayer will not do it for you. You must do it. You must create authentic power in your life. When you pray, you enter into a personal relationship with divine intelligence, a relationship in which you sense that there is a receptivity, listening, with which you are co-creating in the realm of time and space and matter the most appropriate circumstances for your own spiritual growth. But when that growth comes or doesn't come, it'll be because of what you do or don't do. It'll be because of the courage that you have to experience an emotional reaction that's painful and to challenge it by not acting on it, by not letting it move out into the energy sphere of others and creating karma for you. If you have a beginner's mind, that doesn't happen.
So, beloved, when you talk about prayer, I'm just wondering, just to clarify, so if I'm praying and I want something to happen, so I really want to have a better relationship with someone and I want them to be different so that you know, I pray that they'll stop their addiction. I pray that that we can have a better relationship. I'm just wondering about that kind of prayer as opposed to what I think you're talking about.
Well, that kind of prayer is really an extension of external power. What you're doing is you're attempting to manipulate the universe into changing somebody else so that you'll feel better about yourself. That's the pursuit of external power.
You think it's...
Excuse me.
In other words, it's the same if someone is dying and you want them to stay and that's what you're praying for? You want them to not die? That's the same kind of a situation, isn't it?
It's the same situation. The idea that we can manipulate the universe is somewhat childish, don't you think? If you really have a sense of the magnitude and immensity of the compassion and the wisdom and the love that is the universe. So if you pray for the best circumstance to happen, it's going to happen with your prayer or without.
Mm-hmm.
If you pray for someone to become more aware, that won't make another person more aware. But it will if you're praying for the benefit of another person, not for yourself, if you can recognize that difference in the moment. When you pray for another person, you don't change that person, but you change the world through which that person walks.
Mm.
And it can be beneficial to that person. If you're praying for somebody to stay alive a little longer, who are you really praying for?
Mm.
You're praying for yourself because you don't want to lose that person. You're praying for yourself because you're not using your multisensory perception, because you feel that that person can be lost to you. She cannot, he cannot, excuse me, souls cannot lose souls.
Hmm. I remember one time I had a really, what seemed like a very difficult situation in my life, and I wanted this person to change. And it wasn't really happening the way that I wanted it to. And I got a chance to really practice beginner's mind, because I would see all these parts of my personality come up that wanted to manipulate that person, that wanted the universe to change things for me. It went on and on mm-hmm. for a long time. And then finally I realized that what I wanted was to have the clearest prayer and the clearest loving support, even though it'd be passive support, because there was no possibility of a real connection in terms of active support. So I learned a lot about beginner's mind. I got to see all the parts of my personality that wanted to caretake this person, that wanted things to be different so that I would feel better. And it went on for a long time. And when I actually realized that I didn't feel that anymore, and that even though sometimes those frightened parts would come up, they had lost their power, and so that I could actually truly love this person fully with no attachment to the outcome, it was really an amazing place of beginner's mind in this particular situation, because I had no idea what would happen. All I knew is that my intention was to be of support, even though it be in a passive way. That was the most important thing for me.
So we've taken a little digression into prayer, but is it really a digression? Once you begin to see with an open mind, without judgment, without critical thoughts, with curiosity, with openness, you'll begin to see that whatever happens to someone else offers that person opportunities to grow spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason you'll know this is so is that as you look at your own life, you'll see that it's so. So from a beginner's mind, you'll see a frightened part of your personality as it arises. That's what they might say in Buddhism. Or as it becomes active.
Mm-hmm.
You'll experience the physical sensations of it in your body. You'll see the thoughts of it, the critical, judgmental, comparative thoughts of it in your mind. And all of these things will be interesting to you. It won't be an experience of, oh no, not this again. Or if that's the experience of a frightened part of your personality that comes up, your openness, your curiosity, your beginner's mind will look at it at the same way. Mm. And eventually you'll begin to see that you are living in a wondrous universe, an amazing universe. You can't really pray for the universe to support someone, because that person is always supported in every way at every moment. You can't really pray for that person to have an immersion in compassion and wisdom, because that person is already immersed in compassion and wisdom, but they're not aware of it. They're not aware of it if they're in pain. They're saying, why did my daughter die? Why do I have AIDS? Why must I have cancer? Why is my home being foreclosed? You're closed when those things happen. Of course, you know what that feels like. Everyone does. But now you can create a different experience, an experience of openness to your life. You don't know how the universe works. That's impossible. But it is possible to see the compassion and wisdom in it, in the Earth School, at every moment. It is possible to send love to others. That's a beautiful prayer. It is possible to pray directly to divine intelligence for the benefit of another. But be aware, if you're trying to change someone else with your prayer to divine intelligence, you're pursuing external power and you're trying to make divine intelligence an accomplice. That's not going to happen. Divine intelligence is always the source of spiritual support, of nurturing, of beneficence, of compassion, of wisdom. A beginner's mind sees this, not only sees it and then it's done with, but sees it again and again and again and again. Mm-hmm. And then even the agains fall away and it just sees it. That's a beginner's mind. Creating authentic power will take you there.
Indeed.